Morning, today's daf in Yumadaf Samach Vav. Deeply appreciate the Lupin Foundation, Michael and Esther Lupin, for the sponsorship of the daf Yomi. And the learning we do will be Lezecher Nishmas Lois Lupin Zaltzman. Okay, today's daf is a continuation of yesterday's daf. We are still a little bit behind. We're on Samach Hamad Beis, and we are finishing up a discussion that we had yesterday, so why not recycle? Recycle carbonos has kind of been a topic of discussion yesterday. So remember, the discussion started on Samech Hamad Aleph, and this discussion was generated by noting that there seems to be two Mishnayos that seem to be at odds with one another. Just a quick review. We first take a look at the Mishnah in Shkalim. Take a look back on Samech Hamad Aleph. Just going to quickly go through the Mishnah again. So the Mishnah describes what happens if your shekel gets lost. You have every year, you have a mitzvah, a minatorah, to give a machzitz to shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. That shekel is going to be collected, that will turn into communal funds, that becomes public money, and with that money, that will be the operating expense of the Beis HaMikdash. All karbanos of the year will be used with that shekel. And as we've discussed throughout the entirety of the Masech to Shkalim, the year has to be a fiscal year, meaning that all karbanos from this year have to be used with this year's money, last year has to be used with last year's money, and annual budget in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Masechta Shkalim, we talked about the budget. But in the meantime, however, what happens if the shekel en route to the Beis HaMikdash gets lost or stolen? So that's what the Mishnah Shkalim describes. And the Mishnah basically talks about who's responsible. Is it going to be the Mishalech, the one who sends the shekel? Or is it going to be the Beis HaMikdash who's going to be responsible? So essentially the question becomes, well, who owns it? Who owns that shekel? So the Mishnah says it's really contingent on when the Truma Salishka was taken. If the lost or the theft takes place before the Truma Salishka, so that means that's the Mishalech, it's still a Ba'abaisis shekel, so he needs to recover and he needs to recoup the loss. If it's after the Truma Salishka, so that means that then it's under the it's under the ownership of the Beis HaMikdash, and they have to suffer the loss, fine. Anyway, the end of that Mishnah, not to go through the entire Mishnah right now, but the end of the Mishnah presents the position of Rav Yehuda. Now, what if after there was the owner of the shekel went ahead and paid for another shekel, and then we recovered the original shekel? So now, essentially, without you really wanting to, you just gave two machzis shekels this year. So what can you do with the second one? So the Tanakhama of the Mishnah says nothing. I mean, not nothing, but both are going to be applied to this year, and you can't use one of them for next year. You can't apply one for next year. And then the Mishnah noted the opinion of Rav Yehuda. What did Rav Yehuda say? Rav Yehuda Omer, this is the end of the Mishnah Shkalim. Olin lahen l'shana haba'ah. You will take one of them and simply apply it towards next year. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. So my time, the Rav Yehuda, the Gemara says, what's the reason? Amar Rav, because of Rav Yehuda, chavash l'shana zu, krevas l'shana haba'ah. Because obligations from this year, you could use for next year. Okay. So in other words, Rav Yehuda has no problem with basically crossing the annual line and using monies that were really meant for this year and to apply them to next year. That is the opinion of Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara notes, now with that in mind, so the Gemara says, I'll set you up with a question, and that is the following. Let's say I have the part in the seer of Yom Kippur in the next brisa, which is found on the bottom of Samech Hamad Aleph, a part in the seer of Yom Kippur, that was either lost or stolen. No, not stolen. Okay, but it was lost, and you brought in a substitute. And the same thing would be true for the seer of Avodah Zarah, where it was lost, and you separate another one. Kulan Yamusu. So what does the Mishnah say? It's a brisa. So everything said, all the animals that are not going to be used are going to be left to die. Divrei Rav Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Keep that in mind, meaning that's obviously the critical component of this discussion. And then Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amrim, Yirach, Yistav, V'yemach, V'yiplu, Demem, L'ndav, Shein, Chatzos, Yibar, Mesa. And the Chachamim said, no, there's no reason why we have to put those extra animals to death. You have leftover animals, so you just simply let them graze and develop a blemish and sell them, and the proceeds will go to Nedava. And anyway, according to Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, this is a Chatzos Sibor, this is a public carbon, and Chatzos Sibor is not left to die, that's only a Chatzos Yachid. Now Rabbi Yehuda obviously disagrees, but right now, the Gemara's question here is really simple. Now, I don't understand. When it came to money, so Rav Yehuda was quite comfortable saying that whatever monies I don't need this year, surplus monies of this year could just simply be applied to next year. That's when it came to money. And then the Gemara says, but when it comes to animal, so now Rav Yehuda says, no. Animal that's a surplus animal, no, you can't apply it to next year. let the animal has to die. Well, why? Why not just simply use it for next year? Okay, what's the difference? So that's the Gemara's question. That's what God is going. So Amalei, so the Gemara is going to give a lengthy answer. But before we get to the lengthy answer, let's just set ourselves up with the question again. Now that we're here, so let's begin to try to analyze and give an answer. Amalei, top now of Samachei Amud Beis. And we're going to now continue in the Gemara. Karbanot Zibra Kamar, Chani Karbanot Zibra, Kedrabi Tevi, Am Rabbi Yoshia. So the Gemara's first attempt of the answer is that we're talking about animals. Money, funds, are fungible. So you want to take a money that was meant for this year and just simply forward it to next year? Okay, that's fine. The monies can be shuffled around. But when you're talking about an animal, you actually purchased the animal already, and now you want to take an animal that you applied for this year, and you purchased with this year's money, and now roll it over into next year, that you can't do. And the Gemara says, and the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, it's darshan by Rabbi Tevi. Because Rabbi Tevi, I'm a Rav Yoshia, I'm a Rav Tevi, I'm a Rav Yoshia, I'm a Kroz, also a Chodesh Bechacho, I'm a Torah Chadesh, V'haveli Karban Mitzum Chadasha. You get renewal. Every time we get to the first day of Nisan, the first day of Nisan represents the beginning of the fiscal year. And that means that all animals that are purchased from the first day of Nisan has to come from this year's monies. Obviously, Tishrei represents the seventh month of the year. It's the midpoint of the year. All karbanos that are needed in Tishrei, notably the Seir, has to be used with this year's money. Can't be used with last year's money. And I certainly can't take a karban and fast forward it for the upcoming year. So the Gemara says, okay, that's good. That's a good answer, but an incomplete answer. Hatenach Seir, good. The Seir is purchased with communal funds. And I understand now that once the Seir is purchased with this year's money, I can't roll over the Seir into next year. That I get. But Parma Ikala Meymar. But it really is an incomplete answer. Because one of the karbanos that we're talking about is the bull of the Kohen, which serves as a kapar for the Kohen and all the other Kohanim. The bull is purchased not with public money, with private money. Karban that's purchased with private money, there's no fiscal calendar for private money. Private money could be used now, it could be used a year from now. So it's an incomplete answer. It only explains the seer, it doesn't explain the par. And meanwhile, Rav Yehuda said, if I have a surplus either goat or bull, Rav Yehuda and the Braisa said, they both have to die. Well, maybe I can understand the seer, but I don't understand the par. Gzera paratu seer. So the Gemara tries to rescue this answer, and the Gemara says, well, look, the goat's got to die, so you know what? Kill the bull as well. Because if I let the bull live from this year to next year, so then maybe what people will think is, oh, if the bull can survive another year, well, maybe the surplus goat can also survive another year, and as a gzera, as a rabbinic decree, so therefore we'll kill both. So the Gemara says, that's a costly rabbinic decree. Umishum gzera yamusu? Meaning, okay, I understand gzeras derabanan, but you understand though that because of gzeras derabanan, we're going to take a karban and terminate the life of a karban, a usable karban, because of gzeras derabanan, that seems to be excessive. Va'od, and then the Gemara says, and anyway, can we just back up for a moment? I'm going to ask you a really fundamental question. Hadar Rabbi Tevi, Amar Rabbi Yoshia, Gufa Mitzvahi. Meaning, yes, you quoted Rabbi Tevi, and he did quote a pasuk, but that's not a dinli ikuva. That's not essential halacha. It's an important halacha. It's a mitzvah. But it's not essential. It's not absolutely necessary. There is a mitzvah. It's a positive act to bring this year's karbanos with this year's money. And if you bring from last year's money, however, you have fulfilled your obligation. It's not a dinli ikuva. So now really we've upended the entire answer. Because our suggestion was, well, you know why you have to kill the par? Because we have to kill the steer. And you know why you have to kill the steer? Because you can't roll over from one year to the next. Well, that's not true. May Iker Hadin, according to the strict letter of the law, you can roll over a karban from one year to the next. And yes, there should be a budget. And yes, there should be a fiscal year. But that's not a dinli ikuva. So the truth of the matter is, even the seer can be rolled over to the next year. Okay. I'm sorry, Ela Shechasa Mitzvah. But the only thing you've done is you've neglected a mitzvah, but it's not essential. So really now we're at an impasse. We really have no answer. Again, the question on the table is, I have a par, I have a seer, it's extra. I don't need it anymore. So why not just roll it over to next year? And so by the par, we really don't know why we can't roll it over to the next year, because the par is purchased with private money, and private money, there's no budget, there's no fiscal year for private money. And even the seer, can be brought over next year. Again, you are missing a mitzvah by doing so, but it's not a din li'ikuva. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is goral. Every year you need a lottery. A lottery is part of the process of Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So what's going to happen now is I have a goat and I'm going to use it for next year. So it's going to have been decided with a lottery that was 1 year old. And a 1 year old lottery is not good. So the Gemara says, Vanais Vanagril. So the Gemara says, okay, that's the problem. Solution, do a new Hagrala. Now in the solution of do a new Hagrala, I'm a little bit confused. I'm a little bit unclear. Meaning, what is it? What happens? It converts back to its generic status. I'm not totally clear. Or maybe in terms of pairing its mate, the Gemara is suggesting that we're going to do a hagrala in order to pair its mate. But anyway, but the Gemara says, okay, fine. So you don't want to do last year's hagrala, so you'll do a new hagrala this year. So gzereshami yomra gol kovei mishan lachaverta. So the Gemara says, okay, well, you're right. Maybe even if we do a new hagrala. But you know what people will say? People will say, hey, you know the goat this year? Can I tell you something interesting? The goat this year was really a leftover from last year's goat. All right. And people will say, well, that's interesting. Oh, so they must have not done a hagrala. And even if in the Beis HaMikdash they did do a new hagrala, but people will say they didn't do a hagrala. So the Gemara says, so maybe that's why it can't be carried over from 1 year to the next for fear that people will not understand and people will erroneously think that the hagrala was done from last year. So the Gemara says, "Atenach sir parmaikal meimar." So, okay, but once again, it's an incomplete answer. It only explains the sir, doesn't explain the par. There's no gora when it comes to the par. So why not roll over the bull from 1 year to the next year? And again, it's purchased with private money, so that makes it fine. And so there's really no reason. There's no explanation why the bull can't be used from 1 year to the next. So gzera para to sir. And again, the Gemara is suggesting, but you know the Gemara is not going to like this. The Gemara is suggesting that, well, if we let the bull go from 1 year to the next, and then we're going to let the goat go, and that's no good. So again, the Gemara says that's a really costly din derabanan. The Chachamim are going to make it zera at the expense of the life of a carbon that can be used. So Amar Rabbanan Kameda da Abaye. So again, it's a head scratcher. The Gemara has now spent nearly an amud of Gemara trying to answer one question, and that is the Mishnah in Shkalim allows Rav Yehuda to roll over money from 1 year to the next, but when it comes to excess carbon, surplus carbonos, I have an extra par of an extra seer of Yom Kippur. Rav Yehuda says the animal's to die, and you cannot roll it over from 1 year to the next. And why not? What's the problem? So we made a distinction between money versus animals, but as the Gemara pointed out, it's a distinction, but it's not good enough distinction. Because even by animals, as a din lechatchila, you can roll over from one to the other, but it's not a din li'ikuva. Yes?
You can't roll over the animals. How do you get new animals, yontif?
You buy with new monies?
On yontif?
Well, you buy before? What do you mean? For which yontif? For which yontif are we talking about?
For the new year.
For the new year. So the new year is the first day of Nisan. So in other words, with every budget, you take this year's money and you apply this year's money to buy this year's animal.
So I'm saying you're buying it before the new year. You can't buy on Yontif.
Now, the new year starts on the first day of Nisan.
Cool.
Okay, it's not a Yontif. That's the fiscal year begins day one of Nisan. That's the new year, as far as money is concerned. So the Gemara says, Amur Rabbanu Kamei D'Abaye Gzera Mishum Chata Shemesu Ba'ala. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you what the problem is. Problem is chata shemesu ba'aleha. Right? You want to think about that? What does that mean in this context? In this context, what it means is, again, the chatas over here is the seir. Par is, I'm sorry, they're both chatos. Okay, the chatas for the seir, who is that for? And that's for the Jewish people. All right, so the Jewish people are not going to die. Members of the Jewish people are going to die. That's for sure true. But the Jewish people are not going to die. Who's the par for? So it's pars for the Kohen Gadol and for the other Kohanim as well. And the Gemara says, you know, maybe a concern would be that the Kohen Gadol is going to die. Now, if the Kohen Gadol dies, now that's an if, but if the Kohen Gadol dies, so then what we're going to have is we're going to have a par that no longer has an owner, and that's one of the five chatos that are to be put to death. So maybe the reason why we don't roll it over is for fear that the Kohen Gadol is going to die from this year to the next year, and therefore we will encounter scenario of chata shemesu ba'alah. So the Gemara says, "Hatenech par sir Michael amemar." So the Gemara says, "Good, that's an explanation now of the par." But that's not a good explanation for the seer, because again, the seer is being brought on behalf of the Jewish people, and the Jewish people are not going to die. Members may die, but not the Jewish people. It's a communal carbon representing the community. Community doesn't die. So gzeira seer are two part. And again, the Gemara tries to, and it's funny, the Gemara keeps going back to this point, even though the Gemara knows it doesn't like this point. So maybe what we'll do is, well, we won't roll over the goat because we can't roll over the bull, and if we roll over the goat, so then we're going to maybe roll over the bull as well. And again, the Gemara doesn't like that. The Gemara says we're not going to do that. As Gzeira de Rabbanan, we're going to terminate the life of a karban simply because of a rabbinic decree. So finally, the Gemara says, okay, and I think Ben made this point yesterday, and here's the problem. Now, the funny part is that when Ben suggested, I was thinking to myself, I know it's true by Yach, it's also true by Tzibur. Rashi says, yep, you bet, it's true by Tzibur as well. And that is, a chatas cannot be over a year old. Now, over a year old means from birth to a year. Right? In other words, the completion of its first year. A carbon chatas cannot be older. In fact, one of the five chatas amesos is chatas arvashnasa. Once the chatas is over a year old, so then that's one of the five chatas amesos is put to death. And so now the Gemara has a very solid answer, which is it's going to be over a year old. Well, it's not exera. It will be over. Well, we'll get to the have to be. But right now, let's just say the Gemara nice and simple. So the Gemara says it's going to be over a year old. Mishum chatas arvashnasa. So gzerihi gufa. So gzerihi gufa chatas arvashnasahi. So the Gemara says, what do you mean gzera? That's a funny way to say it. Well, we're worried that it's going to be over a year old. There's nothing to worry about. It will be over a year old. That's the gzera is not the right word. So lo kashya kirebi. So the Gemara says, no, it may not have to be over a year old because. Question becomes the following. How do you figure a year? Okay, now, we have two calendars that we operate with. We operate with a lunar calendar, we operate with a solar calendar. Okay, now, which calendar is... Now, for Yom Kippur, that calendar, we know which one we're going to use. That's called the lunar calendar. Yeah, that's generally speaking how we judge things, how we gauge things using a lunar calendar. However, we are cognizant of the solar calendar, and in many times in halakha, we operate using the solar calendar, not the lunar calendar. And so over here, the question is a very simple question. When figuring the year of the carbon chatas, in this case, it's the year. So which calendar do we use? Do we use the lunar calendar or the solar calendar? So, and the Gemara is going to point out, that's a machlokas. It's a machlokas between Tanayim. Now, the machlokas Tanayim is going to be actually used in another area of halacha. But the Gemara is going to assume that the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim, we're going to introduce ourselves to in just a moment, is going to be the same machlokas over here. Now, in a non-leap year, we happen to be right now right in the middle of a leap year, but in a non-leap year, the lunar calendar is only 354 days, 11 days short of a solar calendar. So a solar year is 365 days. It is quite feasible. Not quite feasible. That's a strong terminology. I'm going to scale back a little bit on the terminology. There, it's possible that a chatas, a seir chatas, will be within a year for two Yom Kippurs. Now, it's possible. Yeah, it's only and there's only right, and there's only a 3-day window of possibility because remember days 1 through 8, not good. Meaning you cannot use a karban. I should say rather days 1 through 7. Right, the first 7 days of the chatas is life, you cannot use it. So already those 7 days are out of the discussion. Then, so let's say the animal is born just a little more over a week before Yom Kippur. So let's say now on Yom Kippur the animal's day 8 or day 9 of its life, or even day 10. That's fine. Now what happens is, whatever reason, we lost it, we couldn't find it, we replaced it, we found it again. Now you go in a lunar calendar year from now, 354 days from now. That now it's still possible that this goat, if the goat's year is determined by solar calendar, is still going to be within the first year of its life. Now, if the year of the goat is determined by the lunar calendar, that's it. Obviously, it's over. Now it's over a year. It's completed. It had its first birthday. So the Gemara points out, if you assume that we operate with a solar calendar, so it is possible for the goat to be considered to go through two Yom Kippurs and still be within 1 year of its life. So the Gemara spells this out. Let's see the Gemara inside. I'm sorry. Shavashnasa Gzeri Gufa Chata Shavashnasai Halokashir Kerebi Detanya. And the Gemara now introduces us to the Machlokas Tanayim, where we see that the determination of a year is subject to Machlokas Tanayim. Now, in this context, what are we learning it about? Bate Are Chama. Having a house in a walled city, as opposed to property, real estate, and Eretz Yisrael, where it's never really a sale, it's always going to be a lease, depending on how many years we are away from Yovel. The Gemara in Erechin gives us all the details, where basically you figure out how many years are left to Yovel, you prorate based on the number of years remaining till Yovel, and you lease your property until the year of Yovel, when Yovel is going to return back to you. That's generally speaking what the halacha is regarding the sale of any property in Eretz Yisrael. However, in a walled city, so walled city, as long as the buyer has purchased the property and held the property for over a year, so then that property becomes his forever. Okay, that's the halacha regarding Batei Arei Chama. Ditanya, now the Torah says simply Shana Tamima, a full year. And now what does that mean? And that's the Machlokas Tanayim. Rebbe says 365 days, it is a solar year. And the Chachamim say, no, it goes by a lunar year. And it could hurt you and it can sometimes help you. It can hurt you because usually it's 11 days short of a solar year. However, if it's a leap year like this year, so then the mocher, the seller, gets a bonus month, where he's able to recover his house 1 month even later. Okay, but assuming that we go like Rebbe, and that's an assumption, but assuming like we go like Rebbe, now we understand Gzeira. Gzeira meaning because there's a chance, and a really good one, that the goat is not going to be within its first year the next Yom Kippur. And that's why you have to let the goat die. So, and again, as good as an answer as it is, it's still incomplete. Top now of Samach Vav Amar Aleph. It's still an incomplete answer. Because the Seir has to be within the first year of its life. And that I get. But not the bull. So the Gemara again goes back to the Gzera Par Atu Seir. So the Gemara says, well, the concern is that Par Atu Seir, meaning because we have to terminate the life of the Seir, therefore as a Gzera Durban, we're also going to terminate the life of the goat as well. Other way around. Because we terminate the life of the goat, so therefore we're going to terminate the life of the bull. So Mishum Gzera Yamos, and again, you know the Gemara is going to react poorly to that suggestion. The Gemara is going to say, I don't understand, because of a Gzera, we're going to kill a carbon. And then the Gemara says, and also, can we take a step back for just a moment? Fundamental question. Right, chatas avish nasa. If a chatas is over a year old, so it is liriya. It is left to graze. It's not to die. It's left to graze. Again, we're talking about a carbon seaborn. We're not talking about a carbon yachid. Now, Amar Ishlakish chatas avish nasa. Verona so ki ilu he omenas bevesik varos. Verona, look at it as if it's standing in the basic forest, meaning you can't touch it. But at the same time, you don't kill it. You just let it graze. So, being that we're here now, once again, we fail to answer the question. So again, we go all the way back to Samech Hamad Alf, the bottom of Samech Hamad Alf, and the Gemara is still struggling to answer one question. Rav Yehuda says that if I ever have a surplus goat and a surplus bull of Yom Kippur, so it can't be rolled over to next year, but rather the animal has to die. And the question on the table is, but why? Why wouldn't the animal have to die? And so after the Gemara giving an attempt at a number of different answers, but the Gemara really is unsatisfied with any of the answers that has given up until this point in time.
What about a gezeira with the base of Mikdash? I mean,
you know, right, well, that's what the Gemara keeps objecting. Meaning every time the Gemara suggests maybe it's a gezeira, the Gemara says no. I can't imagine. So you're correct. That's the Gemara keeps objecting to this idea that it's a gezeira. It's not. So Alam Arava, and by the way, it's great. Right after I said it's not, you're going to see it is, but it's a different type of gzera. So ala marav gzera mishum takala. So the Gemara says the concern is takala. Now takala, what exactly does that mean? So let's introduce ourselves to a brisa. The brisa comes up a number of times in Shas. We saw this recently back in Shkalim. The brisa says ein makdishim ein marichim ein machrim ein bezman hazeh. Nowadays, We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and we've been absent with one for now 2 millennia. So can I be Makdash an animal? I mean, technically, yeah. Sure, I mean, I could surely invest it with Kedusha. Right, I have that power. The problem becomes the following, and now what? Yeah, what do I do? What do I do with an animal that has Kedusha? Or for that matter, if I'm Marich, also making a pledge to the Beis HaMikdash, Macharim, making another type of pledge to the Beis HaMikdash, Stam Charamim, Lebedek Abayis. Okay, if you don't understand that, that's fine. Anyway, but you can't imbue anything with Kedusha nowadays. And what if you do? So really, what you're doing is you're asking for trouble. Because now you have, on your possession, I mean, it's not yours anymore, you're just simply the trustee or the custodian, but what you have now is something that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and you can't use it. And if you use it, you will be mal behekdesh. So you have a serious problem, and you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and you can't give it to the Beis HaMikdash. So what do you do? So the Braisa says, if you're Makdish or Marich or Machrim, an animal has to be Te'aker. Te'aker, I mean, literally means uprooted. But in this context, Te'aker means, you kill it. The Peiros Ksus V'Kel Miyukavu, as far as the fruit or clothing or utensils, let it rot. A mouse, what if it's money or something which is metal, which doesn't decompose, so Yolachana Le'amamelech, throw it into the Amamelech. So the Ezui Ikur Noah Dalsofanevi Himesa Me'aleha. And the Braisa spells out, when we say Ikur, what we mean is, lock it in a room and let it die. Takala damai. So the Gemara says, now, what's the concern? E takala da krava filo korayos nami. So the Gemara says, well, if we're worried that maybe you're going to offer it, well, let me tell you. Anytime you left an animal grazing also we're worried about that takala. E takala de giza vavoda filo korayos nami. And if we're worried about giza vavoda, well, you know that an animal that has kedusha, I can't shear it, I can't work it. Well, that's true with any time you let an animal graze. There should be a concern that maybe I'm going to graze it, I'm going to shear it or work it. La olam takala da krava. So the Gemara says, well, no, we go back to our first concern. What the concern is that takala da krava, you may come and you may offer it. Mahanach lav b'nei akrava ninu lo tarid b'hu. But remember, the animals that are totally disqualified, so there's never concern that maybe you're going to offer it. And that's why I let it go to pasture. Hach de bas akrava hi, but right now, I'm looking at an animal, nothing wrong with this animal. There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, kind of holding it over to next year. And the concern may be that this animal in the interim may in fact be offered. So the Gemara says, "Debasa krovi tarid bay v'takala." I'm sorry. So tarid bay. So I may get involved in this animal. It may not be offered correctly, meaning at its proper time. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Fine. It does come out to be a gzera, but not like the gzera that we were describing earlier, because the gzeras that we were describing earlier, which the Gemara was rejecting, was." Yeah, in other words, well, we have to get rid of one, so maybe as a gzera we'll get rid of another one. Well, that's not enough of a justification. Here, however, the gzera is actually related to the actual akrav itself. Meaning if we let a carbon hang around, and we may not properly take care of its offering, meaning the carbon itself, well, that's a serious concern, that's a legitimate concern. And as a result of that, Rav Yehuda says you have to therefore terminate the animal rather than negligently leave it around, and it may be offered inappropriately or at an inappropriate time or whatever, not taken care of properly. V'takala atzma tanayi, the Gemara notes that not everyone agrees to this. D'tanya will enter a brisa, tanya chad will enter one brisa, pesach shalom kavur, brisha yikra b'sheni. Let's say I have a car on Pesach that for whatever reason we didn't offer on Pesach Rishon. Fine. Save it for next year. Pesach Sheni. Now Pesach, Yikrav Bisheni. Bisheni Yikrav L'Shana, I'm sorry. Bring it on Pesach Sheni, which is 1 month from now. Bisheni Yikrav L'Shana Ba. Now if you, whatever reason, wasn't born Pesach Sheni, it's to bring it the next year. Now Karban Pesach, we know has to be within 1 year of its life. Okay, so, again, it's the same issue. How are you taking Karban Pesach that you missed on 1 year and bringing it next year? And again, we're going to have to say, and the Gemara is going to say it, that we're going to have to be talking about our 3-day window where it could have been offered 1 year, but missed it, And then still within a year of that next year, and again, that only is assuming that you go like Rebbe. V'tanya yidach, when left on a brisa, another brisa, lo yikrav, and the other brisa says, no, if you missed this year's Pesach, you can't bring it next year. Why not? My love, but the plague. So the Gemara says, "I'll tell you why." Meaning, well, the two prices don't give us a lot of information. In fact, very little information. All the prices say is one says you could use the next Pesach, and the other price says you can't. And now the Gemara is speculating, and the Gemara is saying, "You know what these two prices are arguing about? Whether or not we're worried about Takala. Brisa number one is not worried about Takala, and Brisa number two is worried about Takala." The Gemara says, "Lo." No, that's not the right explanation. Nobody's worried about the over here. You know what the issue is between these two brisos? It's very simple. Can we get to next year's Pesach and the animal still be within its first year? The one brisa that says that we can possibly get to next Pesach, that's going like Rabbi, right? When is the birthday of the sheep? It will be 365 days after it was born. 365 days after it's born, you could be within next Pesach. According to the Chachamim, where the birthday of the goat is based on, not on the solar calendar, but on the lunar calendar, there is no way that the goat or sheep can be around for Pesach, with this year's Pesach, and next year's Pesach. So the Gemara says, okay, that was a nice explanation of the two brisos. However, the brisa says, not only is this true regarding the animal, it's true regarding the money as well. Meaning, if I have money set aside, dedicated to this year's Karban Pesach, and for whatever reason we miss it, again, one brisa says, you'll just simply use it for next Pesach, and another brisa says, no, you cannot use it for next Pesach. Now, money, there's no one-year-old money. Meaning, again, this is private money. Private money, there's no... I could use the money now, I could use the money a year from now, I could use the money 5 years from now. And one brisa says, don't let the money sit around your house for a year. Why not? So the Gemara says, you're going to go back to our original suggestion. Our original suggestion was the machlokas between the Tanaim is actually a machlokas about whether or not we're concerned about takala. And so now, finally, we have a solution. The question started all the way back on Samechei Amud Aleph on the bottom. Why does Rav Yehuda say that if I have an extra par, an extra seer, on Yom Kippur, why not simply roll it over next year? So again, a number of suggestions given by the Gemara, a number of those suggestions were rejected. Ultimately, the Gemara finally says, you know what the reason is behind Rav Yehuda? He's worried about Takala. That if I just let the goat and the sheep sit around, not the sheep, the goat and the bull sit around for an entire year with something, somebody's going to forget that this is earmarked for next Yom Kippur, and it will be mishandled over the course of the year, otherwise known as Takala. Okay. And is unclear. I apologize, I don't know. Okay, next Mishnah. Next Mishnah, now we are up to the Seir HaMishaleach, the scapegoat. I mean that literally. Balo Eitzel Seir HaMishaleach. Now, as Rashi points out, now we're back to the Avodas Yom HaKippur. Meaning, big picture for just a moment, we did one Mishnah in the sixth parak of Yuma. I mean, that's it. I mean, I know it started back on Samech Beis, but Samech Beis, Samech Gimel, Samech Dalet, and Samech Hei were all just an explanation in that first Mishnah. And the first Mishnah just simply told us that the two goats have to be the same. Okay. And then what happens if I lose one of the goat, and how do I pair a new goat with the surviving goat? And then a big machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan, whether there's dichol eitzel by Baalei Chaim or there's no dichol by Baalei Chaim. Okay, so obviously there was a lot that we discussed over the last 4 days, but really the first Mishnah was just simply a parenthetical, no, it's not parenthetical, but not, in other words, not connected to the actual Seder HaAvoda, which is that the two goats need to be the same. Now, move on to the next Mishnah. Now we're back to the Seder HaAvoda. So what have we completed? Meaning, what was the end of the fifth parak? Hazal. So all the sprinklings. 43 Hazals were done in the Beis HaMikdash. 16 in the Kodesh HaKodashim, 16 by the Paroches, another 11 by the Mizbeach. then a pouring of whatever's left over onto the Yesod HaMizbeach, and now what? What's the next step for the Kohen Gadol? Now he goes to the Seir HaMishalech, the goat that's going to be sent over the cliff. Excuse me. Balo Eitzel Seir HaMishalech, he goes to the Seir HaMishalech V'samech Sheyadav Alav, and he puts his two hands onto the Seir HaMishalech. O Mizvada, and he says, Vidui, he makes a confession. Remember, the Seir HaMishalech is to achieve kapara for all of Klal Yisrael for Shaar Averos. Does the Kohanim get a kapara from the Seir HaMishalech itself? Remember? Machlokas. That was subject to a debate amongst the Tanaim. We will touch on that debate later on this morning. If you ever heard me sing, you'd understand. So we go through the entire vidui. You'll forgive me. I'll just assume that we understand the vidui. This is now the third time that we had a vidui. Third time. Why? What were the two prior times? So that was by the par. The Kohen Gadol did a vidui by the par once for himself and for his wife, and then another time he did for all the other Kohanim. The Gemara's explanation is because it's good that somebody who already had a kapara do a kapara for the other Kohanim, but that was for the par. Now he's turning to the seer. The seer is for Klal Yisrael. So he does a vidui for the Jewish people. Now he does say Shema Mefarash, and so when the Kohanim hear it, Shua Yotzmi Pi Kohen Gadol Hayukar Meshachavim Menoflam Al Paneihem. So they would bow down. And the response when hearing Shema Mefarash was Baruch Shem Kavod Machuso Leolam Vaed Masul Amisha Hayom Olicho, and then they would hand it over to the person who would walk it.
Is that what they said when they bowed down? Baruch Shem
Kavod. Yep. So Masul Amisha Hayom Olicho, and then they would hand it over to the person who's going to walk it over. Now who is that person? Says the Mishnah, Hakol Shem Laholicho, could be anybody. Now, how does the Torah describe him? Torah describes him as Ish Iti. Well, the Gemara later on is going to explain what that terminology of the Torah is. But the Mishnah points out, nondescript, could be anybody, doesn't have to be a Kohen. Ela Shehasu Kohanim. Now, the word Gedolim maybe belongs, maybe does not belong in the Mishnah. Shehasu HaKohanim Keva V'aluy Menichim Ed Yisrael La'olichal. The Kohanim got a little handsy on the steering wheel, and they said, look, no Yisraelim. Even though the Mishnah points out, Maker Adin, it can be Yisrael. But the Kohanim said no. So they established that only the Kohanim would do it. I'm Rav Yossi Maisav Olicha Arsala, V'Yisrael Haya. Rav Yossi says that one time Arsala did it, and Arsala was Yisrael. The Kevesh Asula Mimnei HaBavlim. Now, they made a ramp, meaning that there was a walk, and we'll talk later on about the actual walk itself. Tomorrow's daf, we will talk about the march of the goat out of the Beis HaMikdash. But the Mishnah points out that a ramp was constructed, not the first ramp that's constructed in Halacha. Another ramp was also constructed for the Paraduma. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the Masechta. We will talk about it in much greater detail when we get to the Masechta of Sukkah. Second parak, I believe. Anyway, there is a march of the goat out of the Beis HaMikdash. A ramp was constructed so that the one walking with the ramp with the goat would be able to walk unobstructed. Who's obstructing his path? So the Mishnah says those Babylonians. Now, when we say Babylonians over here, hard to imagine we're talking about non-Jews, meaning ostensibly we're talking about Jews from Babylon. Okay, that's ostensibly what we mean. As we get to the end of today's daf, so you'll see, maybe not. But shayu matlish b'saro, and what they would do is they would pull on the hair, the omrim lo, and they would say tovitse, let's go. I mean, what do we do with any scapegoat? Right, we abuse the scapegoat. Unfortunately, we know that all too well. But as Rashi points out in the Mishnah, take a look at the last Rashi. Rashi says the lefisha yuregil mo talsho b'saro v'omrim lo tol maher v'lo v'tsei v'al tishav v'nasenu atzlenu od, meaning that goat has our sins on it. We don't want them around anymore. Get out of here as quickly as possible. And so therefore, they would physically abuse the goat, the person. Is it clear from the Mishnah?
No,
I can't tell you. I could go, Sa'aro.
Right.
Right. Could be the goat, could be the person. I'm not sure. Anyway, the point is that they would be abusive, so they constructed a ring.
Pull somebody's arm.
Correct.
A man.
Either.
Tov would say,
I mean,
we'll say to the goat,
go. Well, it could be that pulled one and yelled at the other. Okay, either way. And you're right. Meaning the pulling on the hair in Yom Kippur is an Isser. Right. So it's a built-in irony. You know, get rid of our sins, and meanwhile we're sinning while we're trying to get people to get rid of our sins. Okay. Anyway, the va'omer lo tov v'tzei tov v'tzei. Okay. 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 The v'ilu b'nei Aaron am kadesh shecha lo kamar. Now in the vidui, so the code mentioned nothing about Aaron and the Kohanim. Okay. And is that and what do we make of that? So we go back to a machlokas that we saw earlier back on Samach Aleph, 5 short days ago, where the Gemara brought a machlokas Tanaim in terms of who is getting kapar from the Siyam Shalech. According to Rav Yehuda, the Kohanim as well. Meaning we understand Klal Yisrael is getting a kapara, but including Klal Yisrael, says Rav Yehuda, is also the Kohanim. Our Mishnah makes no mention of the Kohanim. Our Mishnah is not going like Rav Yehuda. If you don't hold like Rav Yehuda, then that's right. So Abaye Amar Filatim Rav Yehuda Atu Kohanim Lav Bechol Amcha Yisrael Ninu, and Abaye says no, you don't have to say that in our Mishnah. The Kohanim can be part and parcel of the Kapara in the Sira Mishtaleach. It can be that our Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda. And what about the fact that our Mishnah doesn't say Kohanim? So what? I mean, you'll forgive me for being so blunt, but so what? Meaning, our Mishnah, the Mishnah does the terminology used in the Kapara is Klal Yisrael, Amcha Yisrael. Kohanim are part of Amcha Yisrael. Okay, so it could be our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Masul Mishnah Malichu Tan Rabbanan. Okay, now we have a Braisa, and the Braisa over here is going to go up with the Pesukim and Darshan the Pesukim. Ish, the pasuk says Ish Lachshir Zazar. It doesn't have to be a Kohen, by the Torah expressing that it could be Ish, it could be any person, simply a man. So E.T., what do we learn from the word E.T.? Top of Samach Vav Amud Beis, She Mizuman. Has to be someone who's designated. Designated Rashi says, Muchan Lachach Me'atmo. Meaning already before Yom Kippur, we know who's going to do it. And it's not like on Yom Kippur, we're like looking around like, who wants this Aliyah? No, you have to be ready before Yom Kippur. It has to be Mizuman. Ve'afilu b'Shabbos. Sorry. E.T. Ve'afilu b'Shabbos. E.T. also talks about the Zman. It has to be B'ito. It has to be on the right time. It has to be on the Moed. So, even on Shabbos. E.T. Ve'afilu b'Tumah. And even in a state of Tumah. Ish la'achshir says, now we're going to go over each one of these drushas and explain the significance of each one of these drushas. So Pshita, the Gemara says, well, isn't it obvious? The Gemara says, no, it's not. Ma'o detema kapara k'siva bay, because there is an element of kapara. And because there's an element of kapara, I might have thought that I need a kohen involved in the kapara. So kamash malan. So that's why it's a chiddush to say that it can be a non-kohen. E.T. V'afila b'Shabbos. It can even be done on Shabbos. Which means that if Yom Kippur coincides with Shabbos, which is possible, we just experienced it this past year, if Yom Kippur falls on a Shabbos, so it can be done. It can be sent out. Lamai Hilchasa. Now the Gemara knows, okay, but what violation of Shabbos are we talking about? So let's say it gets sick. So what you can do is you can pick it up and you can carry it. Even though that would be a violation of Shabbos.
What is the statement?
It wouldn't be our first choice for a carbon, but let's say it develops a cold after the selection. Your point is well taken, right? Okay, fine. Either way, the goat can't walk on its own, so you're going to pick it up and you're going to carry the goat, and that would be a violation of Shabbos. So we'll get to that point. That's an excellent point. We're going to get to that. And we're going to get to that point as well. So, Kimanda Lokar Abinasa. Now, the Gemara says, okay, Now, carrying a live animal, or for that matter, carrying a live person, on Shabbos or on Yontif? Well, let's leave Yontif out of the discussion. Carrying a live person on Shabbos, is that a violation of Shabbos? According to Rabbi Nasa, no, it's not. He has the principle of Dei Rabbi Nasa, Omer Chai no Se Nes Atzmo. Because Chai no Se Es Atzmo. What does that mean? So Rashi says, you know what that means? It means as follows. There's a difference between carrying live weight and carrying dead weight. Okay, you'll forgive me for being graphic, but carrying dead weight, there's a reason why it's called dead weight. The reason why is because there's no adjustment on the person being carried, and whatever the weight is, that's it. That's how much he weighs. Carrying live weight, carrying somebody who is alive, so he's able to transfer and distribute and help you, and help you kind of support his own weight. So Rashi says that's not a violation of Shabbos. That's not a violation of Minatorah. It's rabbinically prohibited to do so, but it's not a violation of Minatorah. So, when our Mishnah says that you can even violate Shabbos, so because you're going to end up carrying the goat, well, that's not going like Rabbi Yehuda, it's not going like Rabbi Nosson, because Rabbi Nosson says that's not Nisa Daraisa. So the Gemara says, Afilu Tema Rabbi Nosson. So the Gemara says, no. Our Mishnah could be going like Rabbi Nosson, how so? Because Chol HaShana. Because if the goat is sick, that means that the goat is really, really in a state where the goat is not helping you in the carrying process. And because the goat's not helping you in the carrying process, so therefore, it's ki'ilu, it's as if it's dead weight. And even Rabbi Nosson would agree that that would be Nisa Daraisa. Okay, so, if Shabbos and Yom Kippur coincide with one another, the point of ET is that you're allowed to carry the animal, even though that would be a violation of Shabbos, but because this is part of the Avodas Yom Kippur, and because the Torah uses the word ET, so therefore, it'd be a violation. And now let's get to David's point. I don't understand. Even if it weren't Shabbos, Yom Kippur, aren't you not allowed to carry Yom Kippur as well? Why do I need the coincidence of Shabbos and Yom Kippur? Just let it be Yom Kippur by itself. And I know in Yontif we're allowed to carry, but we're not talking about Yontif, we're talking about Yom Kippur. The Torah describes Yom Kippur, Shabbos Shabbaton, as the status of Shabbos. So you're allowed to. What makes it that the Gemara is forced to put Yom Kippur on, and Shabbos on the same day? Amar Rafram Zosameres Erevot Sala Shabbos Vein Erevot Sala Yom Kippurim. So Rafram says, you know what you see from here, that there's no Erev and Otzah on Yom Kippur. Take a look at Rashi. Very interesting Rashi. Rashi Zosameres Midi Itzrich Lemisni Iti Afilu B'Shabbos Ikal Mashma De'Ein Iser Hotzah LeYom Kippurim. There's no prohibition of otzah on Yom Kippur. The e Yom Kippurim kishabes otzah lamalikra lahatir masov b'shabes hare kishachal b'chol nami kishabes dami v'karma rachmani shachenu. By virtue of the fact that our Gemara is forced to put Yom Kippur and Shabbos together, means that Yom Kippur as a standalone. If Yom Kippur occurs during the week, there's no Torah prohibition of carrying on Yom Kippur. Now it also says Erev as well. Or Rashi says, Erev Kedei Naspa. Now the fact that it says Erev, Rashi says, don't get caught up in the language of Erev. Meaning, Erev just comes along for the ride, says Rashi. Rashi says that the Erev comment of the Gemara is just simply Kedei Naspa. Just coming along for the ride. But really, the issue is Hotzah. So it's interesting, our Gemara says that on Yom Kippur, vis-a-vis the halach of Hotza'ah, it's not in Issa Da'araisa. And so that's why our Mishnah, our Gemara, needed to put Yom Kippur and Shabbos overlapping one another. Tosus points out, by the way, that although the Gemara says it here, it's not the accepted halacha, meaning Hotza'ah is an Issa on Yom Kippur as much as it is an Issa on Shabbos. Okay. E.T.,
So, what's the explanation? Why
Shabbat
is mentioned?
You're right. Meaning in Achanami. Meaning we wouldn't even need to say Shabbat. The same point could be made just by Yom Kippur by itself,
right.
And we wouldn't need to put Shabbat.
But they don't offer an explanation as to why Shabbat is mentioned.
No, in the Brisa, why Shabbat is mentioned in the Brisa. Meaning it can be that the author of this Brisa subscribes to this idea. Okay, et. Afila b'tuma. So the Gemara says, even instead of tuma, l'may hechusam, Rav Sheshes Lomar Shem Nitma, mishacho, nechnas tamil azaro, mishacho. So even if let's say the one who's sending it becomes tame, so he can go into the azar in order to take it out. Okay. Let's finish up today, and we're not going to get to the Mishnah, but let's do a little bit more for today. Shalos Rabbi Eliezer, Chalamashi Akavua Ketefo. They asked Rabbi Eliezer the following question, the question that we just dealt with in the Gemara. What if the animal gets sick? Can we carry the animal on Yom Kippur? Amar lahem yachuhu larki vani vatem. Oh, don't worry. Basically, he gave Ben's answer. That goat's strong. That goat can carry you and me. As the Gemara will note, and this is not the first time we've experienced this, where Rabbi Eliezer ducks the question. Why is Rabbi Eliezer ducking the question? Because he will not say anything unless he heard it from his Rebbe. He may know the answer, but he's not going to give it because he didn't hear it from his Rebbe, and therefore he refuses to say anything that he did not hear. So, Yachuhu la'akiv aniva atem, don't worry, that goat's strong. Chala mishalcha ma'u she'yishachana b'yad acher. What if the person who was designated to send it, what if he gets sick? Can we hand it off to somebody else? Amar lahem, ehei b'shalom aniva atem. We're all going to be in peace. Nothing to worry about. Again, he's ducking the question. Dachfo v'lo meis. Ma'u she'irid acharav v'yemitenu. Let's say we throw it off the cliff and somehow, miraculously, the goat survives the fall off the cliff. Do we go down there and do we kill the goat? Amar lahen ken yovdu kol evecha Hashem. His answer is, he reaches back to last week's Haftarah and he says, ken yovdu kol evecha Hashem. He must have been listening to last week's Haftarah. So he says, the same thing should happen to our enemies. Again, it's not an answer to the question. He's ducking the question. Now, the Chachamim say that if it gets sick, you put the goat on your shoulders. If the person who was designated to send it gets sick, so send it with somebody else. If after sending the goat off the cliff, somehow the goat survives the fall, you go down there, you kill the goat. Shalas Rabbi Eliezer, Ploni Ma'u La'olam Haba. Is this person going to get a portion in the world to come? Now, the Gemara does not tell us who it is. So, are we supposed to say? Well, it happens to be that Rashi does suggest, and Tosfos does suggest. So, Rashi says perhaps the question was regarding Shlomo HaMelech. Tosfos says maybe the question was regarding Avshalom. Two, for reasons, so you could see Rashi, you could see Tosfos for a suggestion in terms of why we would have thought otherwise. Well, Avshalom is pretty obvious, but even Shlomo HaMelech, the Gemara asks. Amalei lo she'altinu ella al ploni. So he says, why don't you ask me about so-and-so? Again, avoiding ducking the question. Ma'alef silroa kivsa minari. So, can I save the shepherd from the lion? So, Amar lahem lo shaltini ella al hakivsa. Well, why not ask me about the goat itself? Or rather the sheep itself. Ma'ala sil haro minari. So can I save the shepherd? So Amar lahem lo shaltini ella al haroa. So why not ask me about the roa? Mamzer ma'u leirish. Let's say a child is a mamzer. Will he inherit the estate of his parents? Rabbi Elazar's answer is ma'u liyabemo. Can he perform the mitzvah of yibum? Ma'ala sud is beso. Can we apply a plaster to our homes nowadays?
What are these questions for? How are we getting up on this tangent?
Yeah. Well, again, the tangent is based on the fact that Rabbi Eliezer ducks questions, and then the Gemara just goes through a whole series of questions and answers that there's no answer. Rabbi Eliezer's just ducking, and the Ma'al Lasud is based on, as Rashi points out, the question is based on the idea that we no longer have a base of Mikdash anymore, and can we make our homes look nice, being that we don't have a base of Mikdash? So, Ma'u Lasud is Kivro. Well, can we apply limestone to our gravestones nowadays? Answers Rabbi Eliezer. And again, it's not an answer. It's just him avoiding the question by just simply asking another question. Lo Mibneim, we'll end today with this. Lo Mibneim Sheiflugim Advarim. Now, he wasn't trying to be exaggerating, and he wasn't trying to be facetious. Ela mimishalo amar davish lo shama mipi rabo me'olam. He simply just would refuse to say anything that he did not hear from his rebbeim. So, in terms of the questions that were asked regarding the seer mishaleach, whether it became sick, whether the mishaleach became sick, whether it didn't die after it fell off the cliff, he didn't answer any three of those questions. And then the Gemara just also gave us a host of other questions that he didn't respond to, simply because he didn't hear from his rebbeim what the answer was, and the Gemara points out that's his shita. His shita is, he will not say something if he did not hear from his rebbeim. Okay, today we finished up the discussion of the leftover parts, the ear, and why not roll it over next year, to according to Rabbi Yehuda. And the answer is, after a lengthy discussion, takala. We're worried that something will happen over the course of the year where the kedushas of the karban will be compromised. And then we described, you start with the Mishnah, Samech Vav Amin Aleph, and going to where we left off right now, into the issue of the Seir HaMishtaleach, the vidui of the Seir HaMishtaleach, and the sending of the Seir HaMishtaleach with an Ish Iti, and we're describing how it can be done even on Shabbos, even if we have to end up carrying the goat, and we talked about the significance of the death of the goat. Adkan, we'll stop over here, tomorrow we'll pick it up.